Trusting you, yes, to obeying you. Yes, Lord, my soul says yes, Lord. Well, well, good evening to you, 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 and yes, even you. You're tuned in to the 6 Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Glory, you are in for a true word of faith experience. I pray that your day has been going well. This has been a wonderful day. For me, it has been truly relaxing, enjoyable, something I haven't really just enjoyed the whole day in a while. And I'm just glad and thankful to the good Lord that I was just able to enjoy the sunshine and just the peace and tranquility that I got on today. And so for all of you that need a beautiful day, here's a song just for you, and then I'll come back and get really started into the program. Maybe this should be your, if this wasn't your day today, hopefully it will be your day tomorrow.
Wake up and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. Put this child away, strong in the face. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to, 'cause I can't let it stay go. Can't let it stay go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And beautiful day. Down on my face, it's a love so true, I can never get enough of you. This
Beautiful Day by Jamie Grace. Amen. I enjoyed that. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed that. It's a beautiful day. That was just dedicated just for you. Amen. I had a beautiful day yesterday, today, and I plan on having a beautiful day tomorrow as I get back to business and work. Amen. And I'm telling you, I am thankful for being here today. My mental. What's your mental? How you feel today? And I just want to say it. I'm two thumbs up. Amen. Amen. I know some people got two toes up and the big toes sticking up and everything, but I got both of the thumbs up today. I'm feeling 100. Amen. I'm thankful to Almighty God for the things that He has done in my life, and I'm thankful for you being here with us on tonight on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday. Hopefully that song motivated you, encouraged you, made you feel good. Hey, I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to get my worship on. I'm going to tell God, thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall be glad and rejoice all in it. Amen. How's your mental? The lines are open. Hey, I want you to greet everybody. You can tell us your name. Tell us whether you got thumbs up or thumbs down. What's your mental tonight?
Well, Pastor Bonnet, all I got to say is that song was just what I was ready to say, because this whole weekend was good. It's actually been about a week now. There's this young man. I'm not sure of his age. He's a teenager. He came by and offered, believe it or not, he does this for people that are have disadvantages in our town, that he goes around and helps them with their yards, okay? And
wow.
He noticed that our yard is big time been getting neglected because, you know, of Ruth's inconvenience and mine. And he not only cut the grass, but he's been out there several days in a row trying to get all these vines and stuff out of our back fence and everything, and some trees that have been growing up. And I've got the before pictures, and when we get done, I'm going to shoot some after pictures, and I'll even share them with you. You'll see how bad it was when it started, but it's really looking good, and talk about a beautiful day. And then Ruthie just made me some cookies, and I made some cookies today, and I was saying, oh, was she giving me a hint that I should play hooky from the show tonight? I don't think so. I'm in good shape tonight. I've got all toes up, all fingers up, buddy. I'm ready to shout tonight because, I mean, we almost done with that fence and yard, buddy. It is looking, so good. Like when we first got here. I mean, it is really looking good. So, I mean, there's a little more to go. We've been at it like 5-6 days now, hacking away at this, and this young man even got a couple of his friends to come by today to help him. So, I mean, they've been going at it, and it may even look like that he might get his friends and talk to their church group to finally find their church group to see if they'll be able to take on our sign ministry. We've been praying for a long time for someone to take that on. So that sign ministry may be able to get back on the road. So that's even a blessing. So talk about woo-hoo. Like I said, I'm ready to shout. Woo!
Well, that is good.
Jesus.
That is great.
Good.
That is fantastic. So you are definitely complete. Amen. Did I hear Brother Six there?
Wow, first time listening, and I can't even get a word in edgewise.
Well, you had to wait your turn, and now it's your turn. How you feel? What's your day like?
Henry,
your thumbs up
Henry
thumbs
Bowers.
Up?
Henry Bowers. Hello to everyone.
Well, hello, hello.
Hello. Phil, I was getting ready to sing a song, and now you made me forget the words.
Well,
Henry
if it's
Bowers,
in your heart,
remember
it'll come
that
back
name.
Wow. Well, thank you, Henry. Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. Wow. Hello, Pastor Bonnet, Wolfgang, Queen Nye, Emily, Ruthie.
Getting,
that guy upset.
Wow. Everybody got quiet.
Well, I'm up.
I'm up.
And I'm going to continue with the show. Motivation on Monday. Pass the
money. Pass the money.
Wow.
Are you complete, sir?
He said, are you complete?
Yes, I'm complete.
Yes,
I'm
complete.
Yeah, Siri, she don't have to repeat
everything you said.
Amen.
Amen.
Holy. All right.
Well,
I guess it's my turn. Well, Queen Nye here. Good evening, everyone. My mental is two thumbs up, two toes up, and my crown sitting on my head just right.
All right. I like that.
Thank you.
I ain't gonna say nothing. Yeah. I'm just. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Victory, victory shall be mine.
So we have a rest in peace to Paul Reuben, better known as King Herman. He passed away today at 70. So we want to send our thoughts and prayers out to his family, friends, and fans of the Mississippi Network. Rest in power, Mr. King Herman.
From the Six Hours Radio Network, rest in peace. I grew up watching Pee Wee Herman, and if you remember Pee Wee's Big Adventure, you know, he wore the gray suit and the tall white shoes. So we just want to say condolences from the Six Hours Radio Network. Once again, our thoughts and prayers goes out to your family, your friends, and fans at this difficult time. Once again, rest in power, Pee Wee Herman. Do anybody know who Pee Wee Herman is on the line tonight?
Yes, we remember Pee Wee Herman.
Let me hear your best Pee Wee Herman impression.
Not I.
Come on, Pastor Bonnet.
I already did it.
I didn't hear you.
You know, if you, your best Pee Wee Herman, you got to do the dance where you put your fists and you knock your fists together in front of you, then you put them behind you, and you got to stand with your feet together. You got to gear yourself a little wiggle wiggle. And then, yeah.
Let me hear your Pee Wee laugh, Wolfgang.
Well, I never actually watched him much, but I do know who he was, but I just never watched him much.
Well, we know you did.
Yeah.
We also know you probably didn't get to dance.
Oh, there's video of me dancing now. There's video of me.
Doing the Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I like to see that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I was boogieing.
And Choir My would like to see, I tell you. That's all right. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, don't change the channel. Don't change the channel. You're still tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. We're going to get into some other things later, but we had to allow the that Miranda of Mr. Pee Wee Herman. He had a lot of going on back in his day. With them high water pants, big old white shoes. But anyway, so tune in live on Facebook and you will see Brother Six doing the Pee Wee Herman dance. It shall be a sight to be seen. It's a beautiful day. Amen. 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 We're having a beautiful day. So many things are happening in our world today. We want to encourage you to enjoy life. Life is short. Even as I was studying and looking at the word, and one of the characters, not characters, one of the persons, don't want to make it seem as if it was some type of show, but one of the persons that we're going to speak on tonight, he lived over 600 some odd years, you know. At 600 years of age, a certain tragedy happened, and we'll talk about that. But 600 years, I mean, goodness gracious. Can you imagine living 200 years, 300 years? And according to the record, not only did he live that long, but he had the same one wife. Wow. Talking about a long relationship, committed marriage. Now, that is something awesome. Amen. Amen. That is just awesome. We live today. Many may see 70. She'll see a little longer. But it's an amazing thing to have your love of your life to be with you through all of that. You imagine those that get married at age 20, 25, somewhere between there, and they stay married 80 years till they turn 80, 85, and they're still together. 60 years of marriage. Can you imagine have a civil anniversary? That's the 50th year. Well, I'm praying that if the Lord tarry, that someday I'll be able to celebrate my 50th wedding anniversary. Amen. That will be a wonderful treat. Amen. Now, that is a beautiful day. Amen. But until then, because I got like 22 more years to get to that point. But until then, we want to thank God for life itself. Amen. You're alive today, and I'm praying that God is allowing you to be healthy. And that's something we're going to have to talk about on these programs coming up. We want to talk about healthy living. Amen. What foods are really good to eat today? How can we live a more balanced, healthy lifestyle? Amen. What are good exercises to do when you're past 40? you know, because you probably can't stretch like you used to stretch, not in the beginning anyway. And you probably can't jog like you used to jog. So what are healthy things? And so we want to talk about that eventually and bring somebody on the program to help educate us on some things that are beneficial, even some supplements, if you would, that we can take to help our bone health, our mental health, just so that we would just be healthy overall. It's very important for us to be mindful of these things for one simple reason, and that is, and I say that to be too, to fulfill God's purpose for our life. And the loved ones that are watching, they want to see us healthy. And so we don't want to make them worry about us unnecessarily. So let's do right. Amen. Because it's sad to see your loved ones when they're sick. It can bother your mental to see them down and depressed. So it's very important for us to be uplifted, healthy, mental and physical. And so let's focus on those things. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, have everyone had a chance to answer about how you feel and what's your mental tonight? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Are there any prayer requests before we...
Oh, there you are.
Hey, how you doing? There you go.
I'm doing a one up, one down tonight.
Okay. Well, at least we got one up. I mean, amen. We're definitely praying for your health and your well-being. We are aware of some personal challenges with your health and know that your Christian community here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, we are praying with you and for you that God will strengthen you and deliver you.
There's a lady out where Mom's at. Her name's Bonnie. Definitely needs our prayer tonight. There's a lady out where my mother's at. Her name's Bonnie. She definitely needs all our prayers tonight.
All right. I heard you. We're going to be praying for Miss Barney.
And Bonnie.
We're going to be praying for her. Bonnie?
Uh-huh.
Bonnie. All right. We'll definitely be praying for Miss Bonnie. Amen. Any other prayer requests?
Just be keeping in prayer. Tomorrow I'm supposed to be going out to spend quite a few hours with my mother, and she's not strong with the fact that Miss Bonnie is a friend of hers, and she knows that the woman's not doing good. It's putting Mom in a difficult state.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll be able to lift up her spirit real well. Walk in there like a piece of delivery person. And...
Well, I got a couple of surprises for tomorrow, but she don't know what I'm up to. I just need person that don't get a whooping.
Yeah. I think she needs the surprises right now to distract her and to uplift her. So hopefully everything go well for you, prayerfully. Well, when you visit your mother on tomorrow.
And then tomorrow, Six is going to be getting a phone call. Because he wanted to say hi to Mama when I'm there tomorrow. So I will be calling you when I get there, Six. And with that, I am complete.
All right.
Pastor Bonnet.
Hi, Sister Ruth. How you doing?
I got sunburn in my eyes, but the Lord's being with me. I've been staying a little bit, so I'll be all right. Somehow I got out in the sun, and I didn't wear my sunglasses properly and enough of a hat to cover. Since I have sun sensitivity since I was little, I really have to be careful, and I really wasn't this day, and it messed me up the other day. So I'm stuck with it for a while. But the Lord's still with me.
Now, you said sunburn on your eyes?
Yes.
Is that the eyelids or your eyes themselves?
The eyes inside my head. You know, the actual eyes themselves got it.
Okay. Mm.
It's kind of weird, but it's very painful because when you get a sunburn in your eyes, you have to almost constantly put your head underwater and try to soothe them, or I'll use a wash rag. That's about the only thing I found out helps it. It's weird, but I didn't get a sunburn anywhere else. That's the weird part, because I usually have a sensitivity in a lot of things because of my Swedish tendency I have. See, I was born in America, but
okay.
I have a Swedish side of the family where I had grandparents born in Sweden. I've got a great-grandfather born in Germany, and I'm also Scotch, Irish, and Dutch. So I've got all these different nationalities, but I was born right here in Nashville, Ohio. This is sort of funny. But I just praise the Lord that he's helping me get through it. And I'm complete.
That's good. Well, we'll definitely be praying for you. I don't know if you have a dollar store, consider a dollar store in your area. They sold this item called, it's a sleep mask. It's a gel sleep mask. It got little gel beads in there. You put it in the freezer and you let it get cold. And you just put it in there for about 30 minutes to an hour and it'll chill the mask. And then you put it on your face for about 5 to 10 minutes. And that may help you with the soothing. It's a gel pack. It's something that's not going to be hurt. It's not going to hurt you. I remember years ago, my wife had these and got some put in like gift bags we was making up. And so I think that's something that you can use to help you with that, something natural that won't, you know. And it's good, just sleep masks, they're good, period. Years ago, I bought some that felt like a bean bag. And I cannot find that one, but it helps like with when you have like underlying baggage in your eyes where your eyes may be puffy. And so you would just put that over while you're resting or sleeping for a period of time. And that will help with any type of swelling, help depress any type of puffiness around your eyes. And so, but that gel pipe, if you have one there, you might want to look around and see if they have that. That may be able to help you real good, that gel pack eye mask. And so I think you can benefit from something of that nature.
Well, actually, thank you for saying that. I do have some, so I will try that.
Okay. Good. Amen. Are there any other prayer requests? Amen. Amen.
I'd like to add a prayer request for the Palmer family. They lost another family member, as well as keeping myself uplifted in prayer and my family. And like to keep you and First Lady lifted in prayer and the rest of the team. Amen.
Amen.
I'm complete.
Amen. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we'd just like to come before you saying thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for life, health, and strength. God, thank you for just being kind to us, Lord God. When we haven't done all the things that we should do, you're still faithful to us to give us love, to give us your grace, to give us your mercy. We love you today, Lord God. God, we have a list of names that's on our sickest shed here, those that are going through physically, mentally. Lord God, we ask that you would look down on them one by one and name by name. And we ask that your peace will be upon them and that your grace will come in and heal their bodies, touch them and strengthen them where they are weak. And Father, as you do it, we say thank you, Lord God. God, those names that are still going through loss of family members, loved ones, that's going through even family members that are going through, family members that are going, that are sick or mental sick or caregivers that are enduring, looking at that person that they can't help much, that they seemingly feel helpless. But God, we ask that you continue to strengthen their hand as they're doing their best to take care of their loved ones and to be there for them, help them not to be weary in their well-doing. Because your word said, in due season we will reap if we faint not. And so, God, we ask that you continue to strengthen our mind and our will to do your word, to do your will. But, God, help us, Lord God, in the areas where we are weak. Help us so that we may stand strong in your word, stand strong by your word. Help us to be there for one another. Help us to encourage our family members. And Lord God, those members that's in our family and friends list that you have touched our hearts to about, help us to pick up the phone and call and talk to them and share with them love and kindness and genuine concern about their well-being. Help us, Lord God, to be better keepers of your house. Lord God, you have called us stewards of your home. Help us to be better caretakers. Caretakers. Help us, Father. And as you do that, Lord God, we say thank you because we can do all things with you and nothing without you. So we ask that you would be our guide. And even as I share the lesson tonight, I ask that you will word my mouth, word my thoughts and understanding so that I may speak clear and correct, that I may bring clarity to certain things that you have already given me to speak on. Help me to do those things that your people will be glorified, edified, and lifted up to the highest so that they may fulfill all called them to do. We love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed away all of our sins. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is guiding us day by day. We love you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, all right, all right. Well, let me get right on into it. And thank you all for muting your own lines and being mindful of those things. I'm going to leave the lines open. Amen. And I want to get to the message today. This is the last day of the month. And all month long, we have been dealing with faith and deliverance, or faith for your deliverance. And so in this month, as we're getting ready to go into August, August will be for us the month of excellence. And we have a whole lot to talk about concerning excellence. Amen. And we're going to break the stigma of perfection, but we want to have an excellent spirit. We're going to share how that's very possible and how can we do it and do it well. Amen. But today, our last day, this Monday, the 31st, we'll be talking about deliverance by obedience. Sorry, excuse me. Want to get my whole title up. All right. Our message entitled tonight is Deliverance by Obedience Through Faith. Deliverance by Obedience Through Faith. Amen. God will bless me and God will bless me as I obey his word by faith. When God's word speaks, my faith is activated by my doing what he has said, and that brings victory. When the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, then I must believe by faith I can do all things. It is when I doubt what I can do by faith do I fall into the snares of the enemy. It is when I don't utilize my faith but in part. In other words, I know it's right to do this, but I only do it partially, or I only do it without my full heart connected to it. I go through the motions, but my heart is not really there. And so we want to deal with some of the things of that nature, okay? Now, most times, people want all the details. Can you imagine when Abram, before he became Abraham, was told, go to a place where I shall show you? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this man, 75 years of age, his wife, 65 years of age? There are definitely several in the comfort of his father's house. And their household were different from where ours are today. Family business, family members are joined together. And for protection, especially when you're living in wilderness areas, desert areas, it was always good to be grouped, to have a sum of people for safety and protection, so that bandits and different things do not come and overwhelm the village, that place. So you have to be aware. And so here it is. Abram is given instruction by God to leave his father's house. And, you know, sisters, today, had that been your husband, and he said, hey, well, pack up all your stuff. We're getting ready to pack up and move out. You'd be like, huh? Wait a minute. What? Yeah, where are we going? Well, I'm not sure. We're going to follow the Lord. Wait a minute. Who be the Lord? You sure that is the Lord? Well, you'd have had 1,000 questions. You would have interrupted 1,000 times. Because you want to know, okay, what if this happened, and what if that happened, and how are we going to live? You know, if we're moving, we ain't going to have time to to, you know, to farm or have any agriculture. I mean, we're going to carry our livestock with us. We're going to have to buy and trade. And how do you know if we're going to be able to survive? The Lord said for me to go, to leave my father's house and go to a place he's going to show me. So that action alone, whether you're young or old, is one of great challenge. But it is because of that action, we are all blessed today. Abraham, that all the nations of the world would be blessed because of him and his faithfulness, his obedience. And so I want to kind of dive in that. So obedience to God's word is true faith and trust in him. Obedience. So it is the completion of my faith is when I obey God's word. And my obedience don't have to have all the details to be obedient. You know, like kids when they're growing up and there's five up in the house and the oldest one is told to go clean the kitchen. And he said, I cleaned it last night, but that ain't what I told you. Go clean it now. Why do I got to clean? No, just go and do it. See, obedience don't need all the fine details. Obedience just need to respond to the command. So for us to be obedient, but it is our obedience that unlocks our blessings. It is our obedience that proves our faith in our God. So we're going to talk about that tonight in a few details here. Partial obedience is disobedience. And it may cause an interruption in the plan of God for your life. I'm going to say that one more time. Because sometimes we think because we did something, then we're supposed to get the full reward. But if both you and I have the same job, making the same pay, do you think if I go to work 8 hours, and you go to work 4 hours, that we're going to get the same check? No. You can't get mad at me because my check was complete and yours wasn't, because you only did partial. Same way in the kingdom. You're not going to receive everything because you're not going to be able to receive everything because you didn't do everything that was required. So we must understand that partial obedience is still disobedience, and it may cause an interruption in the plan of God for your life. Sometimes people receive certain prophecies and certain words of wisdom, and they don't follow all the plan. And then now they're fussing or upset with God because this didn't happen, that didn't happen. Question falls back on, did you do what he said? Because many times the instruction is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You just praying but not turning from your wicked ways. You that praying but not seeking the face of God. That means the will of God, not the hand of God. And so that's not fulfilling all of the command. And so when he doesn't hear, that means respond to what you're doing have done, and heal, forgive the sins and heal the land. That's because we did not follow. So I want to give you three outlines tonight, and hopefully you'll see them. Faith is dead without works, without corresponding, excuse me. Faith is dead without the corresponding actions connected to it. Faith is dead without the corresponding actions connected to it. Number two, and I'm just going to give it early and we'll come back and as they come to it. Number two outline is obedience reveals where and who are faithful, our faith is connected to. Obedience reveals where and who our faith is connected to. So deliverance comes after obedience is completed. In the book of Hebrews, let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11 is a wonderful, that was our faith chapter. It says, I got a little time. I was only going to read 7 and 10, but I think I'll go back and read all of it. And I'd like to read this. I have this wrote in my King James, but I want to read this from the New Living, if I may. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, so we know this chapter in the King James start off saying, now faith is. So, but the wording here in the New Living says this. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable, excuse me, I have to pull away from what I remember, in the King James. It was by faith Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man. His offering, that means the gift that he gave to God, proved that he was righteous. What we give to God will prove whether or not we are righteous. Let me keep on going. And God showed his approval of his gift. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by example of faith. That's powerful. That is so powerful to let us know that the blood of Abel being in the grave was so powerful that it spoke. It spoke of his righteousness because his gift was good and he was killed because of his gift. Now, we that are in sin, what covers us is the blood of Jesus that purifies us from sin. And his blood speaks on our behalf. many times as you hear some of the older saints, especially in a lot of Pentecostal movement of churches, you will hear them pleading the blood of Jesus. Why? Because that blood purifies us. It is symbolic to the blood that was put on the doorpost of the home there in Egypt. So when the death angel came, he would see that blood and pass by that home, and it protected them. And so the blood itself is a very powerful thing all by itself. And so we cannot bypass the blood. But that's not all my lesson tonight. Let me keep on moving. Amen. So, verse 5. It was by faith Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. That's powerful by itself. It was by what? It was by faith that Enoch was not taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. King James said he was translated. So this kind of breaks it down to people that don't understand that language. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Brother Six, there's two people in the Bible that the Bible mentioned by name that did not die a natural death that we know. They did not die. It's two people that are mentioned by names that are still alive. At the end of the program, I'm going to ask you the second person name. The first one we are given right here, his name is Enoch. And you can call a friend. Like the game shows do. You can seek a lifeline. You know, you got Missionary Ken on the line, so he may give you the answer. But we want to know who was the second person that mentioned in Scripture that did not die. Amen. Sister Ruth, you can't answer this. So that's all in your Bible prophecy. So you can't answer, but everyone else can. Amen. Let me get back to it. The middle verse 5, we say, before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. I don't know about you today, but I want that testimony, please God. I want that testimony. I want to have a testimony that my life now is pleasing to God. And I don't want the testimony to be solely based on the blood of Jesus that's covering me, because I think it's important for me to be a partaker, because I am a partaker. And that was the reason for being baptized, that we are now partakers with Christ. And so must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. So I want my life to be pleasing to God. But it's not that hard to be pleasing to God, because most times, most teach that you can't make no mistakes, you can't do nothing wrong in order to please God. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says without faith it's impossible to please God. So that means by my faith I can please God, through my faith. So my faith in God will be pleasing to God, not necessarily my deeds. Now, that don't mean I shouldn't have deeds, because my deeds prove my faith. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. I'm getting ahead of myself. Slow down. Read the text. So, verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Verse 7, and that's where I'm picking up from tonight, verse 7 through 8. It says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat. King James said ark. That Noah built a large boat. Notice in scripture that it is called Noah's ark. It is not called the people's ark. It's not called the word of God ark. It is not called anything else. It is called by the name of a man whose faith did not waver in building it. Trivia question. Do you know that it took him over 100 years in building this massive, as this verse says, large boat? I would like to call it the first cruise ship. It was the first cruise ship. Cruise ship was so big, the door, he couldn't close it. God had to close it for him. Amen. So, verse 7 again. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Can you imagine having the message, it's going to rain? And you're preaching a message and people say, what is rain? You are crazy. That's not going to happen. The water, the ground is watered from the earth from below. The mist, the dew shows up every morning. So to them, telling them the sky is now going to pour out rain upon you, they have never heard of that. They didn't believe that. So for them, he was speaking something crazy. A lot of times as Christians, as we're telling people the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, to them we may sound crazy. But what must maintain a constant is that what we have said then, we continue to say now and tomorrow. That we don't change our tune. People say, well, I've been hearing them talking about Jesus coming back soon. My grandmama and them were saying that they dead and gone. Jesus ain't coming. We still saying Jesus is soon to return. The last days are among us. We're still to respond the same message. We're to be faithful. Noah was faithful speaking what he was speaking. So by faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world. Wow. By faith, Noah condemned. In other words, because of Noah obeying God, and they did not receive the words of Noah, condemnation came upon them, that judgment. That came upon them, the whole world. So by faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. So righteousness comes by faith. Faith in God's word. Amen, somebody. I must believe what the word of God has said. So faith is dead without the corresponding actions connected to it. If Noah would not have built the ark, perhaps Noah too would have been dead. he and his family, and God would have had to start with a brand new race of people. We don't know. What we do know is it was because he corresponded or he responded to what God said. He did what God said. And because he did what God said, countless of animals was preserved. The life of his three sons and their wives and his wife and him, eight people, eight being the number of new beginning, eight people begin it all over again. Because he had faith to do what God said for him to do. Can you imagine for 100 years the people that walked by him, seeing him build this, seeing his sons moving out the woods, and somebody else saying, hey, man, he goes from hickory. You want to use this hickory wood? No, I can't use that. I need the gopher wood. The who? What is gopher wood? Cypher wood. I need that good hard wood. I need that wood that can endure a storm. I need that wood that won't begin to break apart as water enter into it and beat against it. I need that real good solid wood that's going to keep on floating because it's going to be in the water for a whole year. He had to follow God's detail by detail. He had to do everything that God told him to do. He couldn't just do partial. Can you imagine if he just got, 10 logs and tied some rope to it and put a little winky-dinky flag up there? They would all die. That little raft would have been broken apart, and they would all die. But he had to be faithful to build just like God told him to build. He had to be faithful to collect. Can you imagine him collecting all the food that it required to feed all those animals for that long time? So he had to be specific in what he was doing. He couldn't just be doing anything because his father was, be sure. And you can read his story at your leisure over in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, you'll read this whole story and you'll see all the details of the things that God gave him and his faith in doing it. He couldn't waver. He had to do exactly what the Lord told him to do. So by faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as he as his inheritance, By faith, this old man Abraham, before he was Abraham, he was Abram. It was in his obedience God later changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Even his wife's name changed as they obeyed God together. Amen. So God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, He lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. In other words, he couldn't even start building him a home yet. He had to live as if he could pack up and go at any moment. But yet he was faithful to follow the leading of God. Amen. And so even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherit the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundation, a city designed and built by God. So Abraham was building this, period. He was doing this by faith because he was trusting in the plan of God for his life. We have to trust the plan of God for our life. Remember the scripture that says, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's why over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. A lot of times we're caught in the hustle and bustle of life. We're fighting for this, fighting for that. But the issue was we failed to simply seek God first and his righteousness. So things that should have been added to us were not added to us. So our struggle was harder because we didn't obey. Our struggle was harder because we didn't follow. So obedience reveals to us where we are. Abraham obeyed God, so he was in a promised land. And because he was where God said he was going to go, that showed who he was obedient to. And he was obedient to God to this point. Even in his moment of fear, where he erred a lot, but he didn't tell the whole truth. We're not going to talk about that tonight. Amen. And he was so fearful when he got down by the land of Egypt because of the famine that was in the land, and he went down towards Egypt because the Nile was a place of life. And so he said, these people may not know God. And so because they may not know God, somebody may kill me to get to you. He was talking about his wife, 65 years old. She was still so fine, still so beautiful, that he feared men to take his life just to take his wife. Ain't that something? So he said, please do me this favor. Tell people I'm your brother. That way they will show kindness to me. And sure enough, he got down there, and they took one good look at him, say, oh, you got to be mine. But God, because he was following the direction that God told him to go into, God spoke to Pharaoh that night. So you're above there, man. For the woman that you took to be your wife, the reason why I didn't let you lay with her yet, because she belonged to him. And he's a prophet. He's my servant. And Pharaoh said, hey, why you did this to her, man? Why you just lied to her, man? You could have told us the truth. He said, man, I feared y'all. I ain't think y'all know God. thought y'all would have took something. He said, man, but now I got to bless you because the Lord told me I got to bless you because if I don't, I'm going to be cursed. So I'm going to bless you. He go a whole lot of money. He go some help. Now get on with yourself. Don't you do that no more. But he was following God. And although he had a moment of fear, because the preservation of life, can, you know, if you thought somebody was going to take your life, you're going to try to find an easy way out too. But we ain't throwing those stones at him because he moved in faith. He didn't go back to God and say, God, I can't go down here, man. Them folk going to kill me. See, he didn't go back to God with the negativity. So he's showing us even how we're to look for other options so that we will do what God tells us to do, so that we will stay the course in the direction that God told us. The problem is many times, and here's the rip, many times, we heard God's voice. We heard God's instructions and directions. And what we do is we look for confirmation in other people, not our pastor or our leader, but we look amongst our peers. And sometimes we look amongst those that we think that have a little something, whether it be knowledge or money, and we ask them of their opinion about what God has said to us. And because God didn't give it to them, whatever we telling them God told us to do sound foolish. Because you know as well as I know that Abraham was too old to be traveling in harsh conditions. But nevertheless, that's what he did. Nevertheless, God preserved him because his faith was in obeying what God told him. And our challenge as believers is to believe what God has said, trust what God has said, move in the direction God told us to move into. And when we obey, it proves our faith, and that unlocks our blessing. Because it was only after he done all of that that God began to increase his life. Amen. Amen. So let me go back to my notes here. So. Amen. So that was only after he obeyed God. So if you turn in your Bibles to James for me, the book of James, we're going to go to the New Testament here, James, a little further up in the New Testament there, rather. James chapter 2, and I want to read just a few verses here. James chapter 2, I'm reading this from the King James. King James says here in James chapter 2, verse 17, we're going to read 17 through 20. James chapter 2, verse 17. It says, even so, faith with it has, excuse me, even so, if it has not worked, it is dead. Amen. I believe somebody's line is unmuted. If you mute your line, that way we'll have no interference here. I would greatly appreciate it. James chapter 2, verse 17, once again, it reads as follows. Even so, faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. 8:19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. We got to understand that if we're going to have faith, we must have an action behind it. And it is called obedience to God's word. It unlocks doors for us. It unlocks blessings for us. And we can go through countless scriptures, but they're in Hebrews chapter 11. That is our hall of faith. People whose name is mentioned because they trust and believe, even when the events did not take place within their lifetime, they still held on to faith in God and his word. And we today, as we come to the end of this monthly emphasis of faith and deliverance, they that come to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Because without faith, that means we cannot please God. It's not mission difficult. It is mission impossible. It won't happen until we change. The beauty of it all is Christ's first message, repent, change your understanding, change your thought, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That means God's way of doing things is present. His kingdom, his beneficiousness is made available for you, you, and me. We have access to be good, to do good. We have access to not walk in darkness. We have access to not yield to sin. That's why he said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Learn of him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Why is his yoke easy? Because he's already broken the yoke of the bondage to sin. His burden is light because he's already completed the will of the Father for his earthly lifestyle. So he's already done what needed to be done. And he is our great example on how to be more than conquerors through his name. We saw it well when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. He simply said, it is written. He didn't get in no physical debate. He didn't argue. He didn't even try to justify who he is. He didn't fall into that trap. He simply quoted the word of God. And in doing so, he revealed to the enemy, yes, you know the scripture, but when the scriptures are used in their right proportion, if they, according to what the purpose and what it was written, it produces a winning strategy. The devil quoted to Jesus things that was true, quoted them to him with wrong motives. He said those things to him with alternative motives to get him away from obeying the will of the Father. And the enemy will come at you and me just like that on a continual basis, trying to get us to disobey the will of God. Why? Well, it's simple. When people see error in you and I, it makes them not trust God, because they think that if we say we believe in God, that we're trusting God and God is for us, but when they see us do wrong, it makes our God look wrong. It makes him look unable to take care of us. It makes him look unable to provide for us. And when the truth of the matter is, it was us that did wrong. It was us that mismanaged the money. It was us that couldn't keep our temper in control and check. It was us that didn't follow through. It was us that wouldn't have forgiveness, and we were commanded to forgive, that did so many things contrary to the written will of God concerning our lives. And so when the world saw that, they turned away from our God. But when we live our lives like God tells us, we do the things that we're supposed to do according to his word, these three things can happen that when they see our faith with a corresponding action connecting to the blessing that God has promised, they'll see that. They'll see that. But if our faith is dead, then we're not going to be connected to what God wants for us. Our obedience reveals where we are and who our faith is connected to. Sometimes we can trust people, believe it or not, more than we trust God. And so is when those times happen, when we put our trust in man so strong, our biggest hurt comes from when they fail. And so it is because we have our faith in the wrong places. Our expectations are on people rather than God. We set ourselves up for rejection, let down, and failure. But it's so important that as we obey the word of God, that people will see that connection to our faith for God or in God. And when they see that connection, it will connect them to the God that we say can do all things but fail. Deliverance comes. After that connection, after that obedience, is completed. The joy of the Lord is restored. The victory is given. Talk about Peter yesterday. It was only after Peter threw his net on the other side, no matter how many times he had done before, it was only after Peter did it, did he reap the harvest. And so much, it began to break the net that was designed to bring in a whole lot of fish. That's the overflow. And so when the Bible tells us to give, and it shall be given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. That's the recipe to bless your life. But what we do sometimes is we give with a string on it. I remember one of these old movies, and the guy had a piece of string taped to a coin, and he would put it in the soda machine and press the button, and just before the coin dropped all the way down, he will pull the coin back up. He didn't give. He had a string attached to what he was giving. You know, when we give our tithe and offering to the church, responsibility of that staff, that pastor, that administrative assistant, those that's responsible for the maintenance and the upkeep of that ministry. Every ministry is built different. So whomever is the trustee, is their responsibility to pay the bills, to see that the ministerial needs are being met. But it's also very important for us to make sure that we take care of the man of God, that he don't go hungry, that his family don't go lacking. And these things are set in order. But if we bless the man of God, what God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless those that bless you, but I'm going to curse those that curse you. And as we read throughout his story, that's what we see to happen. We see that happening. Everyone that was with Abraham was being blessed. Those that didn't want to do right by Abraham, we saw that too. And so we, by faith, must be obedient to God's word, and being obedient connects us to our blessing. It connects us to others so that we can connect them to God. Somebody needs to see you living holy. Somebody needs to see you not wavering in your faith towards God, even when misfortune happens. This is my testimony, and I'm done for the evening. Last week I had some trouble, some real trying times. I'm not going to tell you all of them, but I will tell you this one. One piece of my equipment is a backpack blower. As a lawn care specialist, part of the job is after you cut the yard or dig your hedges and different things like that, is part of the cleanup process. Now you have the snail way with a broom and a dustpan, but on a massive scale, when you have a lot of work to do, A lot of yards to do, and you have a time frame in which to do all these things. You need a blower to help gather everything together so that your cleanup process is a lot quicker and the yard service that you have done, it looks a lot cleaner and neater. Well, mine went out on me. Also, one of my mowers went out, but we're talking about the blower. I was doing a yard, and in the process of doing the yard, I went to get the blower, and just out of the blue, the priming bulb for it was just busted. It was, when I pressed it, the gas started shooting out. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't complete this job without this. I need this to do the job. And I was a little disappointed. You know, one of them two thumbs, one of them started going down, one of them went down. And I'm like, man, how am I going to do that? Then I noticed some damage that had took place from something else. Didn't quite know how it happened, but had to take ownership of that. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? I got this responsibility, this responsibility, and now here it is. This don't want to work right. And so I was a little disappointed, sad, you know, deterred. Went to try to find the part that I needed and found that part and had to find some other stuff. Was not successful with that. And I made up my mind. I said, you know what, buddy, I'm going, it's lunchtime. I'm going to eat, go home and take a nap. I'm not going to let this tie all my mind and space. And so I did just that. I went, grabbed me something to eat, went home, ate my food, laid my head down, went to sleep. Still sad, because I got back up, and I was still thinking about all the events that had happened. I was sad. I was down. And I said, I'm going to lay back down. And I laid back down. My eldest son called me. And because I'm always trying to be a good example for my children and others that are close to me, that phone call, he said, Dad, I'm just calling to check, see how I heard everything go out. Said, was you able to get this fixed, blah, blah, blah. Did you find what you needed for the other thing? And I didn't find it. And I say, man, matter of fact, I thank you for calling me, man. Let me get up and shake this off and do what I got to do. And literally, I had to shake that off, got up it, and went in to fix the part, only to find out there was a greater issue. And the main reason why my equipment was running as rough as it was something else. So I told somebody like this. I said, God had to break my equipment so I could see what was broken beneath the surface. Had not that little incident happened, I would still been fighting with the equipment to work properly. And a lot of times in our life, we put bandages over huge scars, and it doesn't fix the problem because we never dig deep enough to find out what's the real issue. We never get right down to it. And I'm thankful that God allowed a setback, if you would, if I can call it that. It allowed something to happen to make me look deeper into the issue. And literally, when I finished then, it was running like it was brand new. What's funny about all of that is I went on and finished that day, and I was doing well. I had them testified about it twice. And after I testified about it the second time, I said, "W, you're not going to win today. You're not going to win. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be discouraged. And the following day, I got up early, and I started messing around, and I learned something else. And again, my equipment is running like it's brand new. But I learned something in the process. I learned what to do, and I learned what causes times we want to give up when trials or tribulation comes our way. But James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. And that's a hard thing to do because, man, when things start working against you, you know, it's easy to get sad. It's easy to fall back to some old habits. You know, yesterday I told you Peter went back fishing. He was sad, you know. You know, all that stuff that happened to Jesus, he's sad. He's not sure what to do. So he did what he knew to do. He was a fisherman, so he went fishing. And a lot of times that's what we do. We go back to what we're familiar with. We go back to what we once known. But as I close out on yesterday, I bring that back to us today. God still called him to be a fisher of men. So he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my young ones. Feed my old ones. Feed the ones that know. Feed the ones that don't know. Let's be about God's business. That's it. And that's my lesson for tonight. I know I got a lot of time left on the table here. It's not that much. But that's my lesson tonight. I hope and pray that something I said has encouraged you. Hope I didn't leave out nothing. And if I did, hey, you put it in and you retell it. Share it with somebody else. You are more than welcome to recycle this message as many times as you want it. You can cut it, tell half of it. It don't matter. As long as you tell it, use it to help somebody else in their walk with God, in their faith. To trust God more, to believe God more, and use it for yourself. And hopefully we'll become a better and stronger people. It's time out for Christians being weak. We should not be weak. Our God holds the world in the palm of his hand. So why are we weak? Thank you. I love you. Love you. I love you. Are there any comments? Let me go to the line here. Any comments, any questions?
Pastor Bonnet wanted to say that was a great message. And when you were talking about Peter putting the net down, he had said, and this was his obedience, he says, Lord, I've been doing this all night, but at thy word, there was his obedience. He said, at thy word, I'll still let down the net. And that's when he got all those fish. And as to your question at the beginning of the show there about the other person who did not die naturally. Okay, I'm not going to give the answer, but I am going to give a lifeline to everybody else, and that is the answer is found in my title as an author. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm complete.
They got to know your book then. Well, Six may know that. So if Six is still on the line. Amen. Six still on the line.
Come on down.
They is. Six, do you know the Bible gives
us to know that there was two people in history that did not die. One was Enoch, who I spoke about tonight.
And the other one was Elijah.
Elijah or Elisha.
Elijah.
J or F?
It was Elijah.
I just try to make sure you saying what I'm thinking you saying. That's all.
Yeah,
I just want you to be
Elijah.
Fully confident. Okay,
yeah.
Elijah. Okay, I'm just making sure you understood how did he leave the world. Jesus went up in a cloud, what it say, a pillar of cloud. This person went up in a pillar of he ascended to the heavens.
It wasn't a vapor. It was let's see here.
It was something they rode back in that day.
It was a chariot.
Yes, he ascended in the chariot. Amen. And it was Elijah, because he dropped the mantle, and Elisha picked the mantle up, and his desire was to have a double portion of his anointing. And so if you search the scriptures, Elisha performed twice as many miracles as he did, with the last one taking place after his death, because they had put somebody dead on his bones, and that person got up.
Wow.
Ain't the Bible interesting?
It is. It is. So if it took Noah 100 years to build the ark, obviously it was a different county.
Noah didn't have any power tools. Noah didn't have any modern tools of our day. And so what Noah built was the first of its kind anywhere, was a boat, a huge, huge boat, not just a little canoe to go across the net and across the river, but he built a boat big enough for a zoo.
And he did this all by himself, no help.
He did it. He had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Nisbeth.
Oh, Shem, Ham, and Hafet.
And the best part is,
and the best part was that professionals built the ark. I mean, professionals built the Titanic, but amateurs built the ark.
But where did they get? They didn't have nails back in those days. So where did they get the nails?
You got to read the Bible. The Bible tells us where all the precious stones and metals was. And in Noah's day, they were still building things. Actually, during the time prior to that, when the language got mixed up, there was the Tower of Babel. And so people was always building something. And so craftsmen learned craft. So if you ever seen a real, what it is, there's a television program where you see a guy down in his basement. NCIS, the original. And he's building his boat in the basement. You don't see him use nail. He's carving everything. He's shaping everything to fit in. And he's using some type of sealant to seal it.
Oh. Okay.
Now, that's not to say he hasn't used any nails. I'm not in no way, shape, or form a person who knows anything about building a boat.
Knowing carpentry, I can answer that question how it can be done. You don't have to use a nail.
That's right.
If you drill a hole and then take a wooden peg that's that size and drive it in, it works just as good, if not better, than a nail.
Okay.
That's
right. But this is going in the water. Expands wood. Water expands wood.
No.
So
that's why he had to. That's why he had to use what was called gopher wood. Gopher wood today is known as cypress. Well, cypress wood will not expand being in water a long period of time. But as I did a little research on that, they say that you could take wood and soak it in salt water and fresh water after a period of time, and the expansion of it settles, so it don't expand or contract. So there's a molding process to wood that wood can go through, and it takes a year, according to that one research I did, for it to maintain its shape. So, yeah, it would take 100 years. Can you imagine all the different size components? I mean, if I pulled it up right now and began to name off the dimensions of that boat, you'd be like, oh, my goodness. And he still, you know, and he still had his daily sermon, you know. You know, he still had to get on his soapbox and say, hey, want y'all to change, start serving God. It's going to rain. God's going to destroy. He's not satisfied with y'all. Your living is wrong. You're doing what you're not honoring him. You know, he had to still, you know, his message got to the point where they were finishing his sermon for him. He had one message. God's not happy with the rain. They were fit. So this preacher, they knew his sermon. They knew it better than him. They started marking him day in, day out. But yet, he still had to remain faithful to finish his task, his assignment.
Uh-huh.
And by doing so, as Hebrews said, he condemned the rest of the world because he remain faithful.
Okay.
That's all I got to say, you know. I mean, I can speculate and say, okay, I guess if he wouldn't have done that, God had to do something else. I don't know. Maybe God would just found somebody else. I don't know. All I know is he is in the hall of faith. You know. We got the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, Music Hall of Fame. Well, faith has a Hall of Fame. And in faith, the Hall of Fame, we see them in Hebrews chapter 11. And we get to read of some of the faithful members in the Hall of Fame. And your name can get there if you remain faithful. Who knows? The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Not a faith, but the faith. Lord, help me today. Don't preach right. But so keep the faith. Amen. But thank you, Missionary Ken. And that's right. There's all types of ways of building anything. I know I'm right. I know he's right, too. Because when Moses was given the instruction on building, they were not even allowed to bring a hammer or nails inside the temple. Am I right about that, Missionary Ken? You the scholar, too.
That's what it said.
there goes reinforcement or confirmation. That's a better word. Confirmation of it can be done. Building can be done without, quote, unquote, nails. There's a way to do things. So, now that had to be a real challenge there. That had to be a real challenge. Again, all of that was in following God's blueprint. So Noah had to follow God's blueprint because he ain't never seen no boat. He ain't know what a boat was. And so, because it had never rained on the earth at that particular time of history, rain wasn't a phenomenon that was happening in the areas where human population was. And I'm going to say it like that because we weren't there, so we don't know. It may just not rain at all in that area, but we knew that it didn't rain yet. Well, I think the one. Well, let me go back. I think the scripture does say, so we do know. The scripture said it had not rained. So I think back in verse in chapter 5, it does tell us that it had not rained. We know God held rain because there was no man to till the ground. So we know there was a time that God started creation, that he did not allow rain, that he allowed, and he gave us to know that the world, the earth was being watered from the dew. So at this time where Noah was, in Noah's time, you know, rain was still not a thing that was known. So his message, it was going to rain and God was going to destroy the world by the flood. That didn't make sense to them.
And another thing, he was talking about the wood being soaked. He's also forgetting that God had instructed Noah to seal that boat with pitch in and out, inside and out.
Yeah. So he hadn't. So that's why I brought up that particular television program, because he's building this boat and he's not using a nail the first. He's sealing it with something else. I don't know what it's called, but he's got some epoxy, and, you know, that's pitch. He got some type of epoxy that he's sealing it with. And some of the carving on the boat is being done after the pieces laid down, because from different programs, you will see him working on it. And but that's a small boat. That's a small boat by comparison. He had to be faithful, though, because, number one, he had to go to the forest where Gopher Wood was. Oh, wow, we have made it to the end of our program. I want to say thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you for tuning in to the 6-5 Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. You have been touched by the True Word of Faith ministry. I thank you for listening. Thank you for your faithfulness to it. I pray that something I said today will encourage you to just trust God 100%. If you don't, trust him 80%. And when that happens for you, good, go on, trust him 85, then 90. But whatever you do, once you start trusting him at one level, don't go down. Keep on going up. I know you're saying, hey, preacher, why you would tell somebody that? Well, you can do that. Trust God today and build on that trust. Obey God today and build on that obedience. You know, I don't know where you are in your walk of life and or your walk with Christ. Wherever you are, always seek to be where you need to be according to what he has said. Not what I say, not what someone else says, but what he said. We love you with
the love of Christ.
We love you with the love of Christ. We thank you
for joining us. If you enjoyed this program, say it to your friends and neighbors. Tag them on Facebook, what have you. You can always go back on iHeartRadio and listen to this on demand, or you can go to the internet to Blog Talk
Radio.
Put in
6-5 Radio.
And our program will come up.
We thank you. We look for you to share with us on another platform we have here. Many more for you to just enjoy to help build your walk with the Lord.
Hopefully last night you enjoyed the reading as they're reading the Bible from cover to cover. Please be a part of that. Just
learning the Bible. You'll find some stories in there that are very interesting. And
that will give you keys on to know the nature of who God is. And I'll tell you, for the Bible is a wonderful thing. And if you don't have a physical Bible or if you have problems reading,
go to your app store, whether you have an Android phone or an Apple phone or a Windows phone, whichever platform. There is a application store on your platform. We'll go to that. When you go into that, just type in these simple letters, B-I-B-L-E. You'll see a red one pop up in the shape of a book. Press on it. Most of them will say King James. Press that. It'll say KJV. Press that. That is a audio-free download. That's right, free download of the Bible that you can put on your
listening device, your tablet,
your laptop, your computer. These things you can put on your devices for
free. That way, when you take time to look into social media, whatever it is, be it Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, you can take time and put your face in God's book and listen to his word. And if you don't know, you may be a little tired and you're not that well versed in reading, just press the little play button.
You'll see a little speaker sound. And you press that and press the play button, and it'll read whatever chapter's on.
Most of them start with John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And you will get to hear the wonderful story about who Jesus Christ is and all those that were surrounding him that helped build up this thing we call Christianity today. Hey, we love you here at the
6-5 Radio Network.
Thank you for being a part of our family. We're praying for your
family.
Until next time, when God allow us to come together, we'll be together again. We say the peace of God be with you and his grace and his mercy. We love you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Good night, one, and good night all.